If you have your Bible and would like to share what I feel like the Lord has placed on my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of St. John. So St. John, and we're going to begin reading with the 10th chapter and the first verse. St. John chapter 10, verse number 1. So glad to have each one of you here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Miss those who are away. Pray they are successful in all of their endeavors. But we're glad you're here today. So St. John chapter 10, verse number 1 through verse number 6. And we're going to be reading a whole lot in the red today. How many of you know what that means? The words in the red. The words of Jesus. He said in John chapter 10, verse number 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and he leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, flee from the stranger, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right there. We're going to pray together and ask the Lord for his help to minister his word. Jesus, we are so glad this morning to be able to gather in your name. We are thankful this morning for the opportunity that you have given to us to come and be in the house of God. And this morning, Heavenly Father, we come to the reading of your word, and I pray that you would just add a blessing to the reading of your word. Open our hearts, open our ears to hear what you would speak to us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would divinely inspire my heart this morning, that you would put your words in my mind and your words in my mouth, that you would help me to speak as an instrument in your hand, that you would give us, Lord, an ear to hear and a heart to receive, that Christ would be glorified and the people would be edified. And I pray that you would bless me now to be a blessing, anoint me now to do your work. And for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful, and we ask them in the awesome and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Amen. So let me begin this morning by just asking you a simple question. Do you believe that we can really hear the voice of God? Do you really believe that we can hear the voice of God? Maybe you are here this morning and there is a desperate situation in your life or a desperate need in your life, and you feel like you desperately need to hear from the Lord. You need some definite direction from God. Maybe you are here this morning and you are facing something in your life where you desperately need an answer. And the thing that the Lord began to roll over in my spirit, the question to ask this morning is, can we really hear from God? Does God really, truly speak to us? And we're going to answer that question this morning before we are finished, if God be our helper. The setting of scripture that we have read this morning is a powerful text. It paints a beautiful picture of our relationship with the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He says that we are the sheepfold. The sheep that he is speaking of, or the sheepfold that he is talking about, is a figure of the church. And I'm not just talking about Elevation Worship Center. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. Amen. I'm talking about when he says that, amen, we are the sheepfold. He is not talking about a particular church, but he's talking about the entire body of Christ. They are a figure of you and me and our relationship with Jesus Christ. The one who comes to the door and speaks is our good shepherd. How many of you know the Bible said that Jesus is our good shepherd? The scripture is teaching us that not only can we hear the voice of God, but the scripture is telling us that when he speaks, we will know who he is. When he speaks, we will know his voice. I want to talk to you this morning about knowing the voice of the Lord. I'm going to title the message, Hearing the Voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. I marvel at the concept of voice recognition. It is amazing to me that we can hear the voice of John Wayne and never see the picture on the movie screen, and we know who that is, right? It's amazing to me that when we hear someone on the radio, we can quickly identify, that's Elvis Presley. That's Merle Haggard. That's Bob Seger. Ow! And Detroit. And I got to thinking of all of the unique voices that we have become accustomed to in our lifetime. Voices like Katharine Hepburn. How unique. Voices that, like Jimmy Stewart. Hello? How about Ronald Reagan? Martin Luther King? Bill Clinton?
I did not have sexual relationship with that woman.
Sorry. I'm not a ventriloquist. But if we stop and think about it for a moment, if we just stop and think about it for just a moment, we would be able to recognize all kinds of voices. When my wife calls me on the phone, you know, now we have caller ID and all that, and if it's her on the other line, I know who it is. But even without the caller ID and all of that, the moment that she says, "Hello, baby," I'm like, I know who that is. I know who that is. I immediately recognize her voice. And even if there is a long span of time between hearing a voice, we can still identify that voice. I remember many years ago when Albertsons was still on Washington Avenue. Not the original, but the one they rebuilt and then moved out of and built over there. The one, you know, on Washington Avenue. My wife and I were checking out in Albertsons, and we're going through the checkout line. Our boys were very small. And there was another young woman about my age at that time, another young woman, and two little boys over in the next aisle. And they were checking out as well. And one of the little boys that was with her, I guess maybe about 10 years old or so, he was just staring at me. I mean, just looking at me. And I'm like, my God, what did I leave undone? You know, what in the world? And so we, you know, I'm like, okay, well, whatever, you know. And we're going ahead and checking out, and I paid for the bill of groceries, and I kind of glance over at him every once in a while, and this little guy, you know, he's just looking at me, and his mother must have told him who I was. So he's looking at me. I didn't know who the woman was. I didn't recognize her. I didn't know who it was. And so we got ready to go. We got the groceries put in the sack, carted up, and ready to head out the door. And finally, the woman spoke, and she said, "Gary, I know it's been a long time, but I didn't think you wouldn't be able to, you know, to not recognize me." And the minute that she spoke, I wasn't even looking at her, but the minute that she spoke, I knew who it was. And I said, "Well, Kathy, I didn't recognize who you were, but I would know that voice anywhere." And it was my cousin, who I hadn't seen in many, many years. I mean, since we were just kids, and her husband had moved into town here. They still live here in Emmett. But I recognized her voice like that. I knew who it was. Just simply by hearing her voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Let me just tell you this morning, if you are a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God, amen, then you are going to know the voice of your shepherd. If you are a child of the Lord, you are going to know the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And the word of God declares that if we really are his sheep and we really are his children, that he promised that not only will we hear it, but we will know it when we hear it. The text that we have read this morning gives us many wonderful lessons, but for the sake of time, I just want to condense it a little bit. Jesus says, "I am the shepherd." And he says, "I know my sheep by name." When I read that, when the Lord put this on my heart and I read that, I thought, man, how wonderful it is that he knows my name. He knows your name. Amen. He said, "When I come to call my sheep, I call them by name. I know them by name." And then he says, "And my sheep know my voice when I speak." 6 different times in the book of the Revelation, Jesus says in the first 2 chapters, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 9, Jesus said unto them, "He that hath ears, let them hear what the Spirit says." I'm here to tell you this morning that when you were born again, he gave you a set of spiritual ears to hear with. When he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," he wasn't talking about just natural ears. He was talking about an ear of the Spirit that hears the voice of the living God. He's talking about an ear that is in tune with spiritual things. Yes, we have natural hearing, but I want you to understand this morning that if we've been born again, we also have a spiritual sight and a spiritual sense of hearing. James chapter 1 verse 19, this is what the word says. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Our problem sometimes is we can't hear because we are too busy running our mouth. Hello? He said, "Be swift to hear and be slow to speak." In other words, walk circumspectly. Listen with a spiritual ear. Listen with, when you pray, he said, "When you knock, it'll be open. When you ask, it'll be given. When you seek, you'll find." If you just, have attuned your ear to the Spirit of God, he will speak to your life. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21. This is what Isaiah says through the Holy Spirit, "And thine ears," talking about your spiritual ear, not your physical ear, "and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it," when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand. I love that scripture. It is teaching us that when we are walking in the Spirit of God, if we will just open our spiritual ears, he said, you'll hear a voice in your ear. You'll hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk in this path. This is the right thing. Amen. Shun this and rebuke that and correct this and walk away from that. Amen. He's telling us that he will tell us how to live. You'll hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me just assure you this morning that what I'm endeavoring to point out is that over and over and over again throughout God's word, we are assured that he knows us by name and that we will know his voice and that he will speak to us and that Jesus, our good shepherd, will lead us and guide us and instruct us by the word of his own mouth. The Bible says, amen, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me just tell you, he is always speaking. We just got to uncover our ears so we can hear. So if he is always speaking, and if he knows us by name, and if we will know his voice, the question becomes, how does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? We have all at some point in our lives heard that small, still voice somewhere within that spoke to our hearts, spoke to our spirit. We have all at some point felt an impression. The only thing I can describe it as a tugging of your heart, a leading, an impression, a guiding, a something down on the inside that just won't leave you alone. That's him. That's his voice. We have all heard the Lord at some place in our life speak to us through a message that was preached. We have all at some point in our life heard a worship song and felt that impression in our spirit and felt the Lord talking to our hearts. That's how I got saved. I said, that's how I got saved. I sat under good preaching all my life. My daddy was a wonderful preacher. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, grew up listening to great ministry, great preaching, but it just never turned me around, never got a hold of me. Hello? But you know how I got saved? I was driving down the freeway, coming home from Grand Junction, Colorado, me and my wife. And I was, you know, in the entertainment industry, chasing my, you know, entertainment dream. I thought I had a measure of success. I had a recording contract with Caprice Records. I don't know if they're even still around, but they were at that time. I seen my name in 6-foot letters on a marquee, Gary White and the Countrymen. I thought I was somebody going somewhere. And I'm headed back home from Grand Junction, Colorado, me and my wife driving down the freeway. Got around Twin Falls, and I started trying to listen to something on the radio, and I'm looking for something, and I come across the gospel music station, and they said, we're playing a brand new album by the Henson family. I went, oh, I know these guys. I know who these people are. They used to come to my daddy's church and sing. And I told my wife, I said, let's just listen for a little bit and see what they sound like. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. It was a Holy Ghost setup. Because the more I listen, and the more the anointing of the Lord began to flow over that worship music, the more God began to talk to my heart. He asked me some questions I didn't have answers for. He said, are you happy? I'm like, well, You know, come to think of it, I ought to be. He said, no, I'm asking you, are you satisfied? Are you happy in your heart? You got a good wife. You got good things happening over here, and you're rubbing shoulders with the right people, and you think you're going somewhere, but are you happy? And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm not. To be honest with you, God, I'm pretty empty. Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me, and then he brought back some of that word that I used to hear when I was a kid. He said, if you'll ask me, I'll give you a drink of water that'll satisfy your soul. Through that music, I pulled off the highway, pulled off right between Mountain Home and Twin Falls, pulled off to the side of the road, and I asked Christ to come into my heart and never look back. So we have all heard God speak to us through music or through an impression, through an anointed song or an anointed singing. No doubt we've all come to the point where we picked up our Bible at some point in our life and opened up the pages and something just leapt off of the page and right into our spirit, and it spoke directly to our situation. That's him speaking to us. He speaks in many different ways. Amen. God speaks to us in many different ways, but no matter how he chooses to speak, my thankful heart says thank God that he is willing to speak to us. And thank God that he's not, afar off that we cannot hear and that we will not understand who he is when he speaks. And this past week, the Lord began to deal with me about how God speaks and hearing his voice. And I want to point out to you three things that the Holy Spirit brought to my heart about the voice of God, the things that he brings, the things that the voice of God provide for our life. Consider with me these three blessings. Number one, the voice of the Lord is the voice of instruction. The voice of the Lord is the voice of instruction. The word instruction, of course, means to teach, to receive guidance, or to receive understanding or knowledge, to be taught, to receive instruction. So understand that when God speaks to us, he imparts life by imparting instruction to us. He speaks to our life, and he imparts life by imparting unto us, by the words that he speaks. He imparts knowledge, and he imparts understanding, and he imparts wisdom into our life. There is a translation, amen, the God's Word translation that says in Proverbs 12:1, whoever, amen, loves discipline, and whoever loves to learn, amen, whoever loves correction loves to learn, but whoever hates correction is a dumb animal. I don't want to be that dumb animal. Can you say amen? Amen. I want, when God to speak, I want him to bring instruction to my life. The Bible said in Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall be unto him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. What the Bible is saying is that if we receive the voice of instruction from God, then we will receive, amen, life, and life more abundant. If we will receive instruction, amen, that reproof and that instruction will honor us and elevate us and lift us up. But if we refuse to hear, then it will bring us to shame and it will bring us to poverty. So understand that when God speaks, he does so through his word, and he gives us insight, and he gives us wisdom, and he gives us instruction and understanding. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse number 63, he said, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So understand that when he speaks words, amen, that can only be received by the spirit, amen, the spiritual ear. But when they are received, they will bring life unto our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and I love this verse. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He's telling us that all of God's word is to be received. And if we receive it, amen, it is the inspired word of God. And if we receive it, it will be profitable to us. It's profitable for doctrine, for learning, for reproof, for correction and instruction in living a righteous life for God. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 22 through verse number 23. This is what the scripture said. When thou goest, as you live your life, as thou goest, when thou goest, he said, it shall lead thee. It what? It, the word of God, the biblical principles of God. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That is a powerful scripture. He is saying that God's word will go with us. It will lead us. It will keep us. And when we awake, it will speak to us. For the commandment is a lamp. If you've ever walked in the darkness, you know what a blessing a lamp can be. If you've ever stumbled in the darkness, you know what a wonderful instrument a flashlight can be. He said the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Amen. And you'll live by it if you'll just give heed to his word. The voice of the shepherd speaks to us through his word. He can be heard speaking through the word of God. Let me encourage you, read your scripture, read your Bible. If you want to have life within you, then take heed to the word of God. Get in the word of God. And when the word of God gets in you, it'll change you from the inside out. Hello? Amen. When we are reading God's word, when we are hearing God's word preached, when we are listening to the word of God, we are hearing the voice of truth. We are hearing the voice of God, and we are hearing the instruction of the Lord. His voice is the voice of instruction. The second thing that the Holy Spirit put on my heart is the voice of the Lord is the voice of correction. None of us like to be corrected. Hello? But we all need it. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Preach on, Brother Gary. Yeah, we all need it. His voice is the voice of correction. Whether we like to admit it or not, we have all at some point in our lifetime and in our walk with God needed God to correct us. Like any child, there are times in our life that we find ourselves wandering in the wrong direction. How many of you have ever found yourself wandering in the wrong direction? And you know what? God was good enough not to just let you continue to wander. I said wonder, it should be wander. He is good enough not to just let you wander off. He is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He comes to us and he corrects us. He corrects us. He brings us back into the fold and causes us to pay attention and to receive his word of correction. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 94 and verse number 12, blessed is the man whom the Lord chastens. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chastens. Proverbs 13 and 11 said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Get this, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father in the son in whom his soul delights. Even as a father corrects the son in whom his soul delights. How many of you fathers ever saw your youngin' acting up and you went over there and went, knock that off, boy. Hello? Sometimes God has to come along and go, knock that off, boy. Got my attention. Well, he does that. You do that because you love them. Am I not right? You correct them because you love them. Let me just say to you this morning, the correction is a form of love. Correction is a form of love. The voice of the Lord is the voice of correction, not the voice of condemnation. Let that sink into your spirit for a moment. The voice of the Lord is the voice of correction. It is not the voice of condemnation. How many times have you ever messed up and the enemy came and sat down on your shoulder and said, look what a mess you have made? That ain't the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord comes along and says, son, daughter, this is the way to walk. This is the way to act. This is the thing to do. And he brings us with love, and he corrects us with love, and he shows us the path of life. Amen. Correction is absolutely a form of love. But there is a difference between correction and condemnation. The Lord convicts and the enemy condemns. Let me just share with you what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5 through verse number 11. Paul is writing, and I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. Paul is writing, he says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, and he scourges every son or daughter that he receives. If you endure chastening, if you endure the correction, God deals with you as sons and daughters. For what son is he whom the father does not chasten? But if ye be without chastisement, listen to this. Paul said, if you are without correction, if you are without chastisement, if you are without correction, whereof we are all partakers. He said, if you don't have correction in your life, then you are a bastard and not a son. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is not correcting you and gently rebuking you and gently bringing you back in line, then you don't belong to him. Hello? I thank God for the correction of the Holy Spirit. I thank God that when Gary starts messing up, the Holy Spirit comes by and begins to tap on my shoulder and say, no, 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 no. That ain't where you need to walk. You need to be walking over here. Get yourself back in line. I thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes along and brings correction into my life. Because I know that I'm not a bastard. I know that I am his. I know that I belong to me, and I know that he is correcting me because he loved me, and I know that he's trying to show me a better way. Paul goes on to say, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. How many of you were raised on the rip and tear method? If I didn't behave myself, my daddy would rip his belt off and tear me up. And I knew I deserved it. Hello? That's another message for another time. We'll leave that there. I didn't know what time out was. Let me put it that way. He says, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. He says, shall we not rather be subject unto the Father of spirits? Should we not rather receive the correction of the Lord with the right attitude? He said, the fathers, our fleshly fathers, for they verily, they meant for a few days they chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, our God, he corrects us for our own profit. For our own benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness, which is meaning that we might be, he corrects us so that we might be a partaker of his divine nature. And then he says, and no words have ever been more true, now no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous. Isn't that the truth? But it's grievous. But nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. In other words, being corrected causes you to know how to line up. It brings the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Correction brings direction. Correction brings direction. And remember that he corrects us because he loves us. And oftentimes we will hear the voice of the Lord speaking to our heart and causing us to understand his will and correcting us and bringing instruction into our life. The third aspect that I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring to you is that the voice of the Lord is the voice of comfort. The voice of the Lord is the voice of comfort. He is the voice of correction. He is the voice of instruction. But amen, let me just tell you this morning that he is also the voice of comfort. When God speaks his word into our lives, it brings a comfort to our heart that nothing else can. Consider what God has declared about each one of us. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. That means that my footsteps, your footsteps are ordained of God. His word is his voice unto us, and his word has declared that our footsteps are ordained by his divine will. What a comfort that is to my heart. What a comfort that brings to my heart. What a comfort that it is to know that when we are living our life in harmony with God, that he becomes our GPS system as we pass through this life from the cradle to the grave. Amen. What a blessing and what a comfort that it is to know that his word says that greater is he that is in me and you than he that is in the world. What a comfort that it is to know that his word has declared that no weapon that is formed against us will be able to prosper. What a comfort for me to know that I have an advocate with the Father. What a comfort it is to know that I have a blessed hope. What a comfort it is to know that he has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. What a comfort that it is to know that he has declared that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What a comfort it is to know that his Bible says that my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and that my name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. His word brings comfort to my heart. Just one word from God can bring comfort that nothing else can. Just one word from God can bring comfort that nothing else can. Someone asked me here just last week, after the service last Sunday, we got in a conversation and I was reminded of a few years ago. Several years ago, I had a touch of Bell's palsy on the right side of my face. My wife and I were getting married to go to bed one night, and she looked at me and says, "Everything okay?" I'm like, "Yeah. Life's good." She goes, "You don't look okay. Why?" She goes, "Something wrong on this side of your face." I got up, looked in the mirror, and sure enough, man, this side was just expressionless, just bah, like it had went on vacation and forgot to tell me. I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. I don't look good." She said, "Do you think you've had a stroke?" I said, "Nope, I don't think so." She got on the internet, best place to look, right? She goes, "Put your fingers together." I put my fingers together, and she said, "Do this and touch your nose." She goes, "Nope, I don't think you had a stroke." I said, "I think it's Bell's palsy." She goes, "How do you know that?" I said, "I had some friends that had Bell's palsy. That's what I think it is." And, you know, she goes, "Well, what should we do?" And I said, I don't know about you. I'm going to bed. What do you want to do? I mean, you know, it's bedtime. Let's go to bed. So we went to bed, and you know, several days, she's like, we should go to the doctor. And I'm like, "What for? I think it's Bell palsy." 3 days later, she finally convinced me to go to the doctor, and we went to the doctor, and she goes, "I think you have a touch of Bell's palsy." I went, "See? I told you. So anyway, you know, I mean, I don't know, the doctor gave me some kind of steroid or some kind of thing to take. And so I'm, you know, popping a few pills. But this side of my face was just, it was like I had Botox or something. It was just expressionless. I would smile and this side would all light up and this was like, boom, nothing. And so, and I talked with a little bit of an impediment. Going to church, you know, I just kept on doing it. I went to work, went to church, booked a revival. And I'm headed to town one day. And my eye wouldn't involuntarily blink. So I was crying all the time out of this eye. And I'm headed to work one morning and, you know, I'm trying to wipe the tears off my cheek. And I'm like, "God, you know, I mean, this has been several months, 3 months on and something like that." And I'm like, "God, I really need you to touch me. I really need you to fix this. I don't know what..." And the enemy jumped on my shoulder and said, "What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't?" And in the same instance, the Spirit of the Lord said, "I got you. I got you." That's all he said was, "I got you." And I'm like, "Praise God. It is going to be okay. It's going to be all right." You see, in that moment, in my family, I'm the go-to guy, you know. I mean, I'm the "I got you" guy. The kids still come to me. They got families of their own and all that kind of stuff. But if they need advice or whatever, they come. And if my wife needs anything, she comes. I'm her covering. I do everything that I can to be that guy that they can come to. But in that moment when the enemy said to me, "What if he don't?" I'm like, "Hey, who's got me?" And the Lord said, "I got you. I got you." I said, "His word brings comfort." Let me just tell you, I drove down the rest of Washington, headed to work that morning, shouting hallelujah. Because God had my back. Can you say amen? Amen. His word brings comfort. His word brings assurance. His word brings joy to our heart. Let me share with you three reasons why we fail to hear the voice of the Lord. And then I will turn you loose this morning. Reason number one. These are my top three reasons why we fail to hear the voice of the Lord. Reason number one, we fear. We allow fear into our life. We fear that we are listening to the wrong voice. How many of you ever felt like the Holy Spirit spoke something to you and you went, "Well, that's too good to be true"? Come on, I'm going to preach where the rubber meets the road. Have you ever felt like the Holy Spirit gave you some assurance and you were like, "I don't know if that's just me or if that's God"? We fear. We fear. We fear that we are listening to the wrong voice. We fear that maybe we misunderstood. We fear that we're going to make a mistake and head off in a wrong direction. We fear, and when we do that, we allow fear to cause us to stop our ears from listening to God's voice. This is what he said. He said, I know my sheep by name. I know you. And my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I haven't heard his voice in a while. Doesn't matter. I hadn't heard my cousin's voice in years, but the moment I heard it, I knew who it was. I ain't watched a John Wayne movie in a long time, but I bet you I'd know his voice too. You hear what I'm saying? When God speaks, you'll know it in your spirit. If you are listening with your spiritual ear. The second reason that we fail to hear the voice of God, the second reason is that we disagree. God says, do one thing, and we're like, nope, I don't think so. Apologize. Ain't no way. I ain't gonna finish it. Hell will freeze over before I say I'm sorry. We just simply disagree. God says, I want you to give this much in the offering. And you're like, serious? Let's cut back, shall we? Get involved in the church in some way or in some capacity. And you're like, no, I don't think so. I don't have that kind of time. Right? We just, when God says something, oftentimes we refuse to hear it because we just simply disagree. God says, march around the walls of Jericho, and we think it would be better to just storm the gates. March around the walls and just play music? That doesn't sound like a plan to me. Hello? And so we fail to enact God's word in our life because we just fear or we just simply disagree. Number three, we doubt. We doubt. What if it wasn't God? What if it doesn't turn out? I remember years ago I was preaching a revival in Salem, Oregon. And Spirit of the Lord, I finished preaching. We had people come for prayer. And there was a lady that was sitting back about middle way of the sanctuary on the right-hand side. And the Lord said to my spirit, go back and tell her that she's healed. And I said, what if she's not sick? I mean, you want me to go back there and tell her that she's healed? And she'd look at me and go, of what? Don't tell me you wouldn't think the same thing, right? You're like, I don't think so. That can't be God. Yeah. Yeah. Well, long story short, I finally obeyed the Lord. And when I told her she was healed, she dropped to her knees weeping. I don't know what was wrong with her, but I do know that God healed her. What I'm saying is sometimes we don't listen to the word of God. We don't hear God's voice because we simply doubt. God can't do that. Or maybe God wouldn't, or even this. Maybe God would do that for you, but he wouldn't do that for me. Oh, yes, he would. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't favor me any more than he does you. He doesn't love me any more than he does you. You hear what I'm saying? Don't allow doubt to keep you from hearing or recognizing the voice of God. Those are simply the enemy's tactics to keep us from walking in God's word and from hearing God's voice. This morning, I just want to encourage you that there are many voices in this world. There is the voice of the enemy, the voice of self, the voice of false teachers, and we could go on and on. But don't allow all of those voices to discount the voice of the Good Shepherd. Because the Good Shepherd does speak. He speaks the word of truth. His voice is continually calling, instructing, leading, guiding, teaching, correcting, comforting. If we would but only hear it and only apply it. This morning, will you bow your heads, please? Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are a God that knows us by name. I thank you that you are a God that does speak to our lives. And Lord, I thank you for the promise that when you speak, we will know your voice. And I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding, and open the ears of our spirit man, that we may even more clearly hear with confidence the voice of the Lord. Speak to us this morning, I ask, O God. Help us this morning, O Father, to be able to recognize the voice of our God, that we may be led and instructed and receive correction, and that we may receive comfort and joy on our journey. Touch our hearts there this morning, Lord. Let the word that has been spoken and the word that has been preached go into our spirits deeply. Cause us to determine to walk more circumspectly, more carefully, with our ear tuned toward heaven. I ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here in this place this morning, and you would just simply lift up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear the word this morning. Yes, 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 yes. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I haven't had my spiritual ears open lately. I've had my spiritual ears plugged, if you will, and I haven't been walking as I should. If that's you, slip up your hand and say, Lord, that's me. God sees hands, yes. Yes, God sees hands. He loves you. He loves you as a father loves his own. Father, open our ears this morning. Stand to your feet all over the building. Hands have been lifted for many different reasons here today. Let me pray with them, and then I'm going to ask Cody to go ahead and sing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, those that have slipped up their hands and those that have reached out to you just by an uplifted hand, unstop their ears. Let them begin to hear the voice of the shepherd in ways that they have never even imagined, in ways that they've never even dreamed. Touch their lives this morning. Touch their hearts this morning. Open their eyes and unstop their ears. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go ahead and sing.